Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 6th of February, recording at 9:28 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick review of the day's highlights. Stock markets pretty firm in here overall. A couple of them seeing some small declines in Europe. Wall Street showing the most modest of gains, but it closed on the upside, having spent most of the day with small losses. And government bonds. This is interesting. A bit steady, quietly steady, I should say, in here. The U.S. dollar, a little bit weaker in here today, currently down 31 ticks on the dollar index. And precious metals strong, although once again closing off the highs here. I think the platinum probably had the best of the action in terms of holding gains. Lost trading after hours at 1191 on the April contract. Gold up 520, but it was up nearly 10 at one stage. And silver, again, up 19.5 in here, but it was up 40 at one stage. So good action, but leaving a little bit of tail on the charts. More on that in a moment. And soybeans lost its rally gains. Grains a little bit easier in here today. Okay, so what's going on? Well, as far as stock markets are concerned, steady as she goes. I've been talking a lot in the last couple of months about somewhat bigger ranging activity and somewhat more lengthy ranging activity than we had seen during that period, really from at least September through November, when markets just moved steadily higher with very, very little in the way of setbacks. And we did see slightly more choppy action in line with that hypothesis that we'd see more ranging in the period from December through January and some of it into February. But stock markets have firmed again recently, and some of these markets are breaking up out of those ranges, and others that had been strong all along are resuming their rather steep upward trends. So there's just a possibility here that we can see markets push ahead more quickly once again. The evidence is preliminary, but that's certainly a possibility, as I say. And if that were to take place, if we were to get another real surge here over, well, through February and March and at least into April, that would be fun while it lasts, but it would greatly increase the risk of another medium-term correction once that rally had run out of steam. Medium-term correction would not be like stepping into an empty elevator shaft, as we saw in May and June of last year, but it could be longer, and it could be about the same size. So that's what might happen if we go ahead, if we see markets push ahead too strongly in here. The other slow and steady type of action, where markets don't do quite so well in the short term, but get more ranging and get a bit more mean reversion in terms of those 40-week moving averages that I have talked about almost daily and that I had illustrated earlier in the charts. And if you want to see those for yourself at any time, just go into the library, go into the moving average section, and under the charting facilities, and click on the moving averages, and you'll see that it's already got a default there for 200 days, which turns into 40 weeks on the weekly charts. And you want to look at it on the weekly charts. Those are the ones that count. And there you'll be able to see quite clearly how the indices have pulled a little bit too far away from the long-term trend smoothing device moving averages, and would technically look a little bit healthier if they ranged really sideways and down a little bit to get closer to those long-term moving averages without breaking the progression of rising lows that we see on the charts. Those, of course, are the hallmark of an uptrend, is higher reaction lows. Okay, in terms of government bonds, the steadier action that we're seeing here is in response to a short-term oversold condition that we saw in the Australian bonds, probably most of them. I was going to add the U.S. Treasury bonds, the bunds, the gilts have seen by far the least bit of steadying and have been the weakest here overall. And the JGBs, where I've got a small short position, have they had not fallen as much as the others, and they have been easing down here recently. But this is quite interesting. I don't like the fixed interest sector, as you know, and my main interest in it right now is just possible influence that it might have over stock markets from time to time. And of course, stock markets can affect the bond markets. And one of the things that I've said over and over again, if yields rise too much and too quickly, long-dated government bond yields, that is, if they rise too quickly or too far, then that would cause problems. That would be a headwind for stock markets. But we haven't seen enough of a move to make that a potential problem. Another potential headline, another potential headwind for stock markets is the oil price rally. So far, markets have been quite calm on the move back up, briefly touched, got up to 59.99 here today. And that's quite a move. That's a 20% move from the lows that we saw last month. Backed off a little bit, closed at 59.09, but it was still up 35 cents on the day. But I've said somewhere in the mid-60s, I think the stock markets would start to pay attention and become a bit concerned. Again, it need not be a crisis, depends on speed with which the oil price moves up. But suffice it to say that this action looks like part of an overall base formation development for crude oil, which I maintain is still in a secular bull market. That other potential headwind that I've mentioned on a number of occasions would be a too rapid decline in the dollar. We haven't seen anything like that here recently. We had seen the dollar be really quite steady, and we had seen sentiment towards the dollar going from bearish of the dollar a couple of months ago, behaviorally signaling a low, that being a contrary indicator, telling us all that everyone was short, to people being actually fairly dollar bullish quite recently, except perhaps for the yen, where a lot of people have been talking it down prematurely, I suspect. But to get back to the dollar overall here, if you look at the chart of the dollar US dollar index, we're seeing a bit of a catfight here between the bulls and the bears. One day up, one day down, a little bit of choppy action. But my feeling, my hunch is that the dollar bears are gradually getting the upper hand, and that this is likely to weaken the currency. But say it would have to be in free fall to become a serious headwind for global stock markets, and there's certainly no evidence of that at present. I think the weakness of the dollar, if we were to see it range back down and perhaps test its lows of a couple of months ago, that would be much, much more interesting in terms of precious metals, which are doing pretty well here overall, in their own right. It's an interesting tendency in here. They're either flat or maybe down a little bit or up a bit in the European trading, but on the better days, we do see that firmer tone coming in to the European trading hours, sort of in the late morning. And if the gains are quite good, such as $4 or $5 up on gold, and with the others falling in line, then when the U.S. markets open from about 1:30 Greenwich Mean Time through 2 o'clock, you get quite a powerful run on the upside. That's exactly what we saw today, and it's something that we've seen, and that I've traded on occasion. You get that strong surge, and then we seem to catch some selling pressure sometime after 2 o'clock, again Greenwich Mean Time, and we're getting a fair amount of sort of choppy activity here overall. Maybe that's not so surprising. We still haven't seen a convincing break in of gold in U.S. dollar terms above that 650 level, although it's significantly not falling back sharply from that level, and it has closed above it in here today. It's last trading gold bullion is at 653.55, but as I said, it was up high of the day here was 658.22. So a little bit choppy overall, but bullish patterns have continued to develop, showing lots of support underneath. And so I'm relieved after Friday's gyrations, and I feel that red kite business, which frightened markets, my guess is that that's mostly a copper story, but that really that the precious metals ought to be technically stronger following that shakeout that we saw on Friday, because there was no follow-through on the downside, and people realized that that it was the red kite story. People seem to be much more relaxed about that now. Some of the weak holders, nervous holders, have been shaken out of the market, and I think it will, during the rest of the week, we'll see it take out the highs that we had seen. We see these precious metals all take out their highs that we had seen last Friday. That's my guess in here at this stage. So pretty good action overall. Now, the industrial metals today are mostly up a little bit, but a quietish day except for copper. Now, the New York copper closed up 7:10 up to 249.50, so it's getting back to the 250 level. That's really quite steady action. That's the best we've seen on the upside, really, for some time, and it's close to indicate, well, if we get any follow-through during the rest of the week, we would see a downside failure on that chart. Now, I've often talked about this in the context of the oil market. We know that there's a very big short position in copper. Now, frankly, if I was sitting there with that very big short position in some sort of hedge fund rather than a private position, which one can close at any second, but a large short position in what is a relatively thin market, and they've been leaning on it at reversing rallies. That's why tomorrow's action in copper will be interesting to see. But again, just to say that if I had that big short position and I had seen crude oil rally 20% in a hurry, and I'd already seen, presumably, we've already seen the Red Kite capitulation, although there may be a little bit more selling to take place, but I assume that we've seen most of that. Well, again, if I had that, if I was a hedge fund or hedge funds were sitting with those big copper short positions, I'd be in a cold sweat right now. And I'm watching this and thinking, you know, give me a little bit more positive evidence. This was tantamount to a small upward dynamic here today. Follow through, downside failure evidence, and I'll probably open up a long position in this. Copper, I maintain, is in a secular bull market, and it has had one heck of a correction overall. And that, I think, is pretty much it. Grains and beans, well, drifting, messing around. Soybeans have been the steadiest, as you know. I've got long positions. I'm ahead in the soybeans, but underwater at the moment in the wheat and the corn. Problem is, at this time, that they're still consolidating earlier gains, and there isn't any news that's coming through. We don't get that till the U.S. growing season commences. So other things, stock markets, precious metals, that's where the more jammy action is. And roll on tomorrow for more excitement. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.